Famine is tightening its grip across Gaza, according to the UN Relief Agency for Palestinians. UNRWA has accused Israel of blocking aid deliveries. And here's some of the statistics according to the UN's latest situation report on Gaza. 1.1 million Palestinians are facing catastrophic levels of food insecurity. 28 children have reportedly died of malnutrition and dehydration. More than 30% of children under the age of two in northern Gaza are suffering acute malnutrition. Joining us now is WHO spokesperson Dr. Margaret Harris. Doctor, what are you hearing from the team on the ground from WHO? What are they seeing?
They are seeing really horror every day. In fact, what my team say is every day you think it's the worst and then the next day is worse. But what particularly they're seeing are exactly what you've described, children who are starving and dying simply because of lack of food and water, the lack of water and also the overcrowding, which means that they are getting infectious diseases very easily, diarrhea, respiratory diseases, and those things are killing them very quickly. The numbers you described, you quoted on 28 children, they are as of April 1. So the many more children will have died since. We are hearing from the paediatricians at Kamal Adwan Hospital, which is a paediatric hospital in the north of Gaza, that they're receiving about 15 malnourished children a day, and they're really struggling because they've got a heavily damaged generator. You know, their buildings are damaged, and of course, they lack water, food, and sanitation. So they're meant to treat children who've got that problem, but they've got that problem as well.
Margaret, you mentioned the fragility of children and young people. In terms of malnutrition and deaths from dehydration, how long does that take to take hold?
Well, it's variable, but remember that this is more than just simply lack of food, because there's overcrowding, there are injuries, and of course there's tremendous mental trauma. Every night they hear the drones overhead, the bombing. They've lost family. We've got 17,000 children who are what we call unaccompanied minors. They're just children who are wandering around with no family. So all those factors mean, if you're starving, you will die much more quickly.
And in terms of efforts to get food and medical supplies in, what is the situation?
It's a chronic struggle. In the last 6 months, we've had more than 50% of our missions that we submit every day denied. And our missions are to bring medical supplies to the hospitals, do an assessment when we get there, and then bring out anybody whom we can bring down to the south for more advanced care. So we're not doing anything that you would call military, but half of them are denied. And the other thing that happens is you get to a checkpoint and there are all sorts of sort of reasons that they just leave the truck sitting there, or they take a driver off and interrogate him. And one of our drivers said the questions were just silly. So there seem to be deliberate delaying tactics. So a lot of focus has been on the trucks getting over the border, but the real problem is once they get in, can you get them to the people who so desperately need the aid?
And Margaret, for clarification, when you say 50% of your missions are denied, you mean by Israel?
It's called COGAT, denied or delayed. So let's be fair, they're not always denied outright. As I said, they proceed and then they get stuck at a checkpoint. But yes, it's the occupying power, the military, or they've got another group. It's quite a complicated bureaucratic system called COGAT, who are the people who officially look at a mission and say yes or no.
What are your biggest fears at the moment?
Further death, but also of the much planned or much vaunted attack on Rafah, the incursion into Rafah. We've got close on 1 million people who would need to be evacuated. So that's a city of people who are already in very, very overcrowded and in dire circumstances. And where will they go? So we're already looking at a catastrophe of crazy proportions. I can't use the word unprecedented because it keeps on, every day is unprecedented, but just imagine how much even worse it would happen if Rafah is attacked.
What is that like? I mean, the people in Gaza live with threats hanging over them every day, but this threat of a ground incursion into Gaza. What is that like for the aid workers and the people who are living there, wondering if today is the day?
It's terrifying, and they're in a permanent state of anxiety because also, again, you quite rightly said the aid workers are all based in Rafah because that's officially the safe place. That's where everybody was told to go. That's also where the aid trucks come through. So if that ground incursion comes through, then the aid deliveries, that entry point is gone. And indeed, we've already had more than close on 200 aid workers killed by the bombardment, or as you saw, sometimes direct attack, as you saw with the attack on the World Central Kitchen. We will lose many, many more aid people, aid workers, and we'll lose the base from which the aid is being brought in and distributed.
Margaret, a number of agencies, including WHO, they want more access for aid. They're calling for a ceasefire, renewed calls for a ceasefire. What more do you want that you could reasonably get? Because those other things don't seem to be happening.
So this is the problem. People seem to think it's unreasonable to ask for a ceasefire. It's madness not to. It's madness not to be stopping those who want to keep on prosecuting a war that is basically killing women and children. 70% of those being killed are women and children. I mean, more than 14,000 children, I think, is the number now. The numbers are just so horrific. And people keep saying this to me, oh, that's not reasonable. The other important thing, again, is true protection of aid workers and really allowing free access inside the territory so we can genuinely get to people and to stop the attacks on hospitals. We've only got 11 hospitals working in any shape or form, and all of them are terribly damaged. So when my teams go up to the hospitals like Al-Shifa that was just reduced to rubble, it destroys them because they are the very people who were working to support those hospitals, build them up. They were there when the hospitals were built and equipped and the staff were trained, and then they just see this desert of rubble.
Margaret, thank you so much for your time. That is Dr. Margaret Harris, who is the WHO spokesperson, talking there about the situation in Gaza.